You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
You are tuned into New Beginnings in Christ Ministries, where the pastor is Ralph Williams. And now here
he says, "Brother Ralph, I got this car, man. Why don't you buy it?" I said, "Man, I'm not looking for a car." And every week he would say, "I still got it, man. I'm trying to sell it. Nobody want to buy it. Why don't you buy it?" I said, "Look, I'm getting ready to go on vacation. I don't really have any money." I said, "When I come back, we'll talk." So I came back. He's still in my ear. He's trying to get me to get this car. And then finally I realized that for whatever reason, God wants me to have this car. I didn't know why. I didn't need one. My wife got one. I got one. So I said, "Look, I'll give you so much a week until I pay this thing off." He said, "Fine, I'll just hold it." And so I kept paying him. And I owe him one more payment. And I kept asking the Lord. In fact, yesterday I said, "Lord, what is it about this car? Why do you want me to have this car?" And I'm getting no answer. And I guess about 3 hours later, my boy, in fact, he used to be in here for a while, and I've adopted him kind of as my spiritual son. So he calls me. He said, "Pastor Rob, did you see that picture I sent you?" I said, "No, I didn't see nothing from you." I said, "Resend it." So he sent it. And he sent me a picture of his car. And this thing was like an accordion, man. He ran into somebody in the back of somebody's car and tore his car. And by the way, I sold him that car. And he tore that car up. And he said, "Man, I don't know what I'm going to do. I need a car." And then it clicked in my head. The Lord knew that D was going to need this car. I didn't need it. Didn't even know what I was going to do with it. I just know the guy kept bugging me to get it, so I got it. And so I'm talking to D, and he said, "Maybe we can fix it or pull it out." I look at this picture. I said, "Man, ain't no pulling out this here. That this thing is shot." And I was reluctant to say anything to him about the car the guy wanted to give me. Because I don't like to sell anything, really, to somebody that's a friend. So finally, it dawned on me that this car was for D. And I said, "Man, let me tell you about what just happened." And I just shared with him the story about the car. And he's jumping up and down. "Oh, man, I need this car." So he's working, but he got to work. He come by my house. He takes me over to his car. I see it's shot. It really nothing he can do but scrap it. And he said, "Well, here's some money for the car." I said, "Well, wait a minute, you didn't even see the car yet." And he's ready to buy it. I go, "He actually gave me money on this thing." But I realized that it's for him. And I share this story only to say that God works out things that we don't even know what he's doing. And in the midst of it, man, we got to see him through the Holy Spirit, that he's actually doing something in your life. It might be somebody he's sending your way, and you don't know why he keeps sending this person your way. Could be a lady that's going to be your wife, and she's always around you or calling you. It could be anything, even a business opportunity. And my point is that God knows what you need and knows where it is. And because of that, we need to get closer to him and stop trying to work in our own steam. And find out what this is or what that is and what I'm going to do here and what I'm going to do there. Instead, how about going to the Lord and saying, "Lord, there's something on my heart. I don't even know what it is. But I need you to help me to figure this thing out. Help me to get closer to you so I will know what your will is for my life." Question. This morning, this day, do you know what God's will is for you today? Do you? You kind of think maybe he's leading you a certain way. And sometimes it can be that way as well. And you kind of go there, but if the door closes, you realize, no, not that's not the way. Something on your heart that you really want to do, a desire he's put on your heart that you really want to do, and look, you don't know how you're going to do it, you just believe somehow he's going to work it out. Man, get closer to him and let him fill in the details and let him use you to show you where and what you need to be doing. Amen. He says in verse 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being chief cornerstone. in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom, he said, ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. And he uses this word habitation, and he's talking about a place where he lives. And guys, his Holy Spirit ought to be living inside your heart. It shouldn't be something you got to pray up and, oh, wow, I'm trying to figure this out. No, he lives with you, and wherever you go, and whether you're doing right or whether you're doing wrong, he's right there as well. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
He says, for this cause, I, Paul, he said, the prisoner of the Lord, prisoner of Jesus Christ, he says, for you Gentiles. And look, we know that Paul was called to be the evangelist to the Gentiles, but I love the fact that, first of all, he's incarcerated, he's in jail. But he's not a prisoner of Rome in his mind. He's a prisoner of the Lord, because the Lord has him there. Guess what? Just like the Lord has you here for a reason, for a purpose, and you need to go to him to figure out what that purpose is. Maybe you were out of order. Maybe you were somewhere stuck in some kind of addiction. Maybe you needed a place to live. Whatever it is, I'm telling you, man, it's deeper than that if you belong to him. And you need to get with him to figure out just what he wants of you while you're here. He says in verse 1, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, he says, for you Gentiles, if you have heard, he says, of the dispensation of the grace of God, and he's talking about a specific period that God allowed different and various things, he says, which is given me to you, word. In other words, Paul's ministry for this time, this dispensation for the Gentiles, how that by revelation, he says in verse 3, he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore, he says in a few words. In other words, Christ revealed this to them before. And listen, he also talks about this mystery. And guys, a mystery, simply put, especially from the scripture vantage point, is something before that was not known. In the Old Testament, which is Bible as well, but it's concealed through in the prophets and the writings, but it's revealed in the New. And he's talking about a mystery, something that before man didn't know, that he's revealed through Paul, and Paul wants them to know it as well. He says in verse 4, whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. In other words, Paul's saying that, look, what God has given me, and he's given me much, I'm giving to you. You can know it as well. And by the way, guys, what I know, you know, or can know, if you dig into his word and see what he has for you in that regard. In verse 5, he says, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And again, not known in the old covenant, but revealed in the new. And he goes on, and it starts here in verse 6. He said that the Gentiles shall be fellow heirs. In other words, whatever your inheritance is, whatever their inheritance is, that is available to you as well. He said fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. And I love that, man. He's saying that what God has left for you, his inheritance through Christ Jesus, that as a believer, even a Gentile believer, that you have inherited the promises of God. He said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Do you believe it? He says he will provide for you according, look, to his riches and glory, and his riches are unfathomable, guys. He who made the world, he who reborn you, he who made everything, look, he has a blessing with your name on it, and he simply asks you to be obedient to what he would have you to do. Man, God only knows how he wants to use some of you guys. Not just here, but when you get out of here, to be a beacon of light to some folk that otherwise would not have hope. Enjoy that hope. And look, you look around this room, you say, man, these guys don't look like they're too hopeful. But if you got Christ in your heart, man, you have more than the world that's against you. And much of what he is giving you, much of what you're learning, much of what's in your heart, when you leave here, you're going to take it back maybe to your family, maybe to a workplace, maybe somewhere where you're going to be fellowshipping, maybe to a neighborhood. And it might be things that they have never heard before. But he's put that in you. And he expects you to do what he's called you to do. Simply put, be obedient. He says in verse 7, whereof he says, I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. And listen, Paul, being one of the heaviest dudes in the New Testament, wrote more books than anybody else. But he's saying that what I have, number one, you can have. And he's also saying, but it's not mine. God gave it to me. That he gifted it to me. That he made me like I am. And what he's saying is that he's got something for you with your name on it as well. He says unto me in verse 8, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles. And look what he says, the unsearchable riches of Christ. And listen, the reason why he says it's unsearchable, man, because apart from God's Spirit, you can't figure out what's in this book. And man can read it from cover to cover. And look, you can get them both. You can get Einstein to read this Bible. But if he don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, all he can do is read it as a book, white ink on a white, black ink on a white page, and walk away and shaking his head. And if you stood before Einstein with the Holy Spirit in you, and you can explain to him what Paul's saying and what God's saying through Paul, because you have what he doesn't have. He has intellect, he has smarts. Hallelujah, he's got worldly wisdom, but you got godly wisdom. And you can understand that this world, number one, is not our home. You can understand that we're only here temporarily for a season. You can understand that real life, true life, it only starts when we leave here. Oh, I'm sorry, it starts on this side, but it only gets better when we leave here and make our way to the other side in Christ Jesus. And listen, none of us in reality really want to die. I'm not saying, Lord, kill me right now. But I got to be honest, man. When I see the wickedness of this world and see the way it's going, if I lay down and go to sleep, and there are sometimes I say, Lord, if you decide that it's time for me to go, I'm okay with it. And guess what? Even if I wasn't okay with it, if it was my time, I'm going anyhow. But in my heart of hearts, I know what I'm going to is better than what I have on this earth. Amen. Guys, if you would, put your marker there. Just mark that page and go with me to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 9. And Paul was saying here how he's the least of all the apostles. And in his mind, he can't understand why God saved him anyhow. So I thought it'd be a good idea just to look at Paul. We've seen this before, but we'll read through it. Acts chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. And Paul, though he was a Pharisee, he was simply an unsaved sinner, just like we were. And though he was persecuting the church, guys, we were persecuting folk as well. In ignorance, yes, but we still were. Acts chapter 9, if you're with me, please say amen. And it says, and Saul, and we see at this point his name had not been changed. It says, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. So he's fighting against Christians. It says, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And listen, they used to, back then they would call Christianity the way. And if he found any in that way, all he had to do was hear them talking about Christ. And he could lock them up. He could put them in irons. And he could have them locked up. And he wanted to make it legal. He wanted the government to sanction that. And by the way, as they were sanctioning it then, they're trying to get back to that even right now to a country near you. In verse 3 it says, and as he journeyed, he came near, the verse says, Damascus. And suddenly, in other words, without warning, it said, there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I love, we know, first of all, this is the Lord speaking. He is meeting him up front and personal. And look, though he has not actually persecuted Christ per se, that guys, when you touch his children, his people, you touch him. And he don't play that. Verse 5 says, and he said, who art thou, Lord? And look, that would be a proper response. Because he got somebody who's bigger and badder than him. In fact, knocked him to his knees. And he realizes that this is somebody I need to pay mine to. And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And in verse 5, he said, the pricks. What is he talking about there? Anybody? What is he talking about? Anybody?
It's a pole with a pointed end. I believe it's a pole with a pointed end.
It is, but here he's talking about the pricks. And in reality, he's talking about the pricks of his heart. And when the Lord is pricking your heart and trying to get you to go forward or stop doing this or stop going that way, he's saying that it's extremely hard. As a Christian, as a believer, when you go to sin, the Holy Spirit pricks your heart and says, you don't want to go there. And look, we can override that, but in this case, because it was Jesus himself, there was no way he was going to override that. And that's what he's saying. It's hard for you to kick, he says, against the pricks. He says, and he trembling, this is Paul, and astonished, and I guess he was, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And guys, in this instance, that's the proper conversation or the proper response to ask Jesus. Because there are sometimes, and even some of you right here, that he's left you no recourse but to be here at Cedar. And when you get here at Cedar, because you had nowhere else to go, your proper response to the Lord ought to be, Lord, I'm here. What would you have me to do? Amen. He says, and the Lord said unto him, arise and go into a city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. In other words, what the Lord is telling him is that you go into the city, you sit down, and you shut up, and you wait for further instructions. I don't work for you. You're going to work for me. In verse 7 it says, and the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice and seeing no man. So they heard the voice, but they didn't see what Paul saw or what Saul saw. And the reason being is because, guess what? That call wasn't for them. That call was for Saul. And guess what? God's call in your life was for you as well. Not for your buddy, not for your uncle, but for you. It says, and Saul rose, verse 8, from the earth. And when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And the reason why he saw no man, guys, because at this point, he's blind in his eyes, just as he was blind in his heart. The Lord blinded him. It says, and he was 3 days, verse 9, without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And I would imagine at this point, man, Paul's freaking out. Man, I open my eyes, I can't see. I hear a voice, and I don't really know who it is that says he's the Lord, but he knocked me down, he knocked me off my horse, and I don't know what all this is about. I thought I was doing the work of the Lord, but obviously I did something that was not right. It says in verse 10, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here. So we see as one of the Lord's disciples, the Lord calls on him, he answers, he responds, and the Lord said unto him, arise and go into a street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And I would suspect right now he is praying. He's probably praying like he has never prayed before and has seen a vision. Christ continues to speak. He's had seen in a vision a man named Ananias, in other words, you, it says, coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. And look, the Lord had already worked this thing out, man. That he had worked it out even before the foundation of the world, that Paul would come to faith in Christ. And listen, of all the people that he would save, he goes to get the worst guy, the one that's persecuting more Christians than anybody else, and I'm going to turn his life upside down, or should I say right side up, and bless him with some understanding that he did not have before. And guys, anybody that tells you that I'm too evil or too bad or I'm too far gone, God can't do nothing with me, ask them to read the book of Acts. If he can save Paul, he can save you. And I would even add, if he can save me, he can save you as well. He says in verse 13, then Ananias answered, Lord, and by the way, he's not saying no. He said, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he had done to thy saints. In other words, to your people, he says, at Jerusalem. And it's almost as Ananias is talking to the Lord, he's not telling him no, but it's almost like he's trying to remind him who this guy is. And here he has authority, it says in verse 14, from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for look what he says, he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. In other words, he's saying, if I'm going to use him, I'm going to change his name, he's going to serve me, and listen, in my name, he's going to be incarcerated, he's going to be beaten, and ultimately, he's going to be martyred. I'm going to show him how much he's got to suffer, and guess what? He's going to go through all that, and he's going to love it, because he's working for me. And we need to have that mindset, that no matter what, I'm not backing off of my love for Jesus the Christ. He says, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, he goes on, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, and that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. In other words, he's being obedient. He's doing what God had called him to do. And immediately, verse 18 says, there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and it received sight, it says, forthwith, and arose and was baptized. So the moment he laid hands on him, that the scales fell off, that he now can physically see. And guys, understand that Saul was a scholar. He knew all the Old Testament. He just was interpreting it wrong. But once Ananias touched him, the scales fell from his physical eye, and the scale fell from his physical heart, and he was able now to understand what the Old Testament scriptures and the prophecies actually meant. Because he had that thing wrong. He thought he was serving God, but he was simply serving sin. But now it's been turned right side up. And now he works for the Lord. So much so that he was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. And then saw certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus. And straightway, look what it says, he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. And guys, he goes right back to the synagogue. He was Israel's favorite son. He was a Pharisee. And ultimately, those that loved him began to hate him So much so that they wanted to see him dead. I don't know if you ever talked to any of your old friends about Jesus Christ. I have. In fact, I talked to somebody about 2 days ago. A lady, her husband is dying, literally. And I called the hospital to talk to her, and she passed me off to him. I talked to him, he passed me back to her. And I said, guys, look, the only thing I want to do is just pray with you guys. And because they're professing to be some other kind of religion, they wouldn't let me pray. And they said, well, we'll contact you when we're ready. And look, I know that man is going to be leaving here in a few weeks. And his wife, who already is sickly, she's not really going to be able to take care of herself. And the one thing they need in life is Jesus Christ. And they reject him so much so they won't even let me pray with them in his name. But once I hung up, and they were friends. We were friends in the world and partying in the world. And when I hung up, though, I prayed for them anyhow, because God was not going to let me or let Satan stop the blessing that he might do in their lives. It says in verse 20, it says, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him, it says, were amazed, and I imagine they were, and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for the intent that he might bring them bound to the chief priests? But Saul increased, it says, more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving, in other words, showing that this is the very Christ. God touched Paul's heart, changed his heart, and when his heart got changed, he changed his mind, and his mindset was now to serve Christ and he alone. Dramatic change in the life of this man. Similar to me, though I'm not a scholar, but when he got a hold of me and changed me and saved me, man, I wasn't looking back. And look, it's not that I didn't slip. It's not that I didn't backslide from time to time. I did. But man, in my heart of hearts, man, I ain't going nowhere. And I know that my place is with Jesus Christ and him crucified. And my prayer for all of you guys, man, is that you are getting to the place of being sold out for Christ. That you're getting to the place that you realize that whatever it is you need in this life, that Christ is the one who has it. And as you get closer to him, he'll get closer to you. He says, draw nigh to me, and I will draw nigh to you. And I tell you, man, and I'm telling you from experience, he will begin to show you some things that will literally knock your socks off. He said, taste and see that the Lord, he is good. And if you have not, man, I suspect, especially in the time that we're living, that now would be the time for you to get closer to him. Give him your all, and he'll give you his all. And he'll do some things in your life, some blessings, and even some miraculous things that you thought could never be done. But through Christ, hallelujah, guys, we can do all things. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, dear Lord, for this ministry time, Father, for this time in which we can look in your book of truth. And Father, be blessed by the best in regard to Jesus Christ. And Father God, his miraculous healing of Paul and even of us, Father, how he's taken us from the old and brought us into the new. And I pray for each and every one of these guys, Father God, that you bless them to realize who he is, and that they too will lay their lives on the altar for him and allow him to grow them to a place of sharing him, of loving him, of believing wholeheartedly in him, so that he may bless their lives immensely. Continue to be with each and every man within the sound of my voice, as I pray in Jesus' name and for his name's sake. Amen. Amen. And amen. Amen. Guys, if you have any prayer concerns, please come side.
You've been listening to Pastor Ralph Williams from New Beginnings in Christ Ministries. If you'd like to contact Pastor Ralph, you can write to him at Post Office Box 101427, Palm Bay, Florida, 32910. Once again, that's Pastor Ralph Williams, Post Office Box 101, 42.